The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Well, if you turn in your Bibles to 1 John in chapter 1, verse 1, we're going to continue our series on joy and on exploring why it is very important that we cultivate joy in our life, that it is a responsibility that we have. It's not just an option. Last week, we addressed a message to those of us who found ourselves in difficult circumstances. And we said then, and I'll say again, it seemed a bit cruel to suggest to someone who's going through hell to smile or to laugh or to be joyful. But the reality is the scripture exhorts us to that. So we looked at a number of scriptures just to give foundation to the truth that when we're going through tribulation, that of all times is when we need to embrace joy. There is a time for mourning, but we need it. I fully, highly recommend mourning as long as you understand is being followed up by joy. And the whole purpose for mourning is to break through into joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, not part of the fruit. There aren't fruits of the Spirit. There's just one. It's the fruit of the Spirit, multifaceted. We talked about that last week. And the fruit of the Spirit, when we're going through difficulty, is our greatest weapon against the adversary.
That's right.
But that's only if we understand that it is the fruit of the Spirit, capital S. And it is not my fruit, it's His fruit. And when I'm going through difficulty, I get an opportunity to invite God into my mess and see Him become something maybe that He's never become for me before. So if I'm going through it, I get to invite God in, and He's going to bring His nature, His character. He's going to, the fruit of the Spirit. See, demons manifest. Why can't the fruit of the Spirit manifest? Why can't the Holy Spirit manifest? He does manifest. He manifests in you, and He manifests in me. And we need to let Him shine through us. And we grow, and this is the thing that we must understand. We grow in our ability to walk in the fruit of the Spirit during times of testing and trial more than any other time. Doesn't mean you have to be in a trial to grow in the fruit of the Spirit, but you will grow. If you invite God into the process, He becomes something to us. We shared a little bit of our testimony with Marcy and her cancer. We have had the privilege of getting to know God for the first time really in our lives as God the healer.
Hallelujah.
And He's taught us how to manifest joy and love and peace in the midst of working through stuff. And I know He's taught many of us that, taught many of you that. And last week we talked about that awesome divine exchange that God is always. There's never a time that God is not about the business of bringing a divine exchange in our lives. It is the mission of Jesus Christ out of Isaiah.
Yes.
To give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for heaviness. He's always exchanging it. Always. Wants to bring that divine exchange into your life and into mine. So, if you're in the midst of it this morning, still, count it all joy. Trust God in the midst of it. He is up to something, and it's good. So we want to continue on this theme of joy this morning out of the first chapter of 1 John. John the Apostle writing. I want to read the whole first chapter and into the second chapter, the first two verses. This is a good example of where you never allow the divisions in the Bible to dictate what the author was saying. Sometimes the divisions aren't in the best of places. And I'm thankful for the divisions, and I'm thankful for chapters, by the way. But in truth, we could the message I'm preaching this morning could be this whole letter. Because the Apostle John was after one central message, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Verse 1. 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the whole world. In verse 4, John makes a statement, and he makes a statement that he had heard Jesus say. He says, I write these things unto you that your joy might be full. He had heard Jesus say that. He said it slightly different. Jesus said, I speak these things unto you that your joy might be full. And it's important that we understand that when Jesus said it and when John said it, they were both talking about the same thing. They were talking about relationship with God. Jesus said it in John chapter 15, that chapter we know well, where He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me and I'll abide in you. And He goes on to talk about abiding in the vine and uses the imagery of a branch and a vine. And anyone that has ever split firewood understands that image really good. It's not easy to split the place where the branch meets the trunk. Because there's an interconnecting of the fibers that are way different in the trunk or in the branch. Think about it. So Jesus is talking about that, and then He goes on and He says, my Father is one and I am one and we are one. And then He says, I have spoken these things unto you that your joy might be full. John is... And at first glance, you might think, oh no, he's talking about sin. No, he's not. He mentioned sin. And the crux of my message this morning is not to talk about sin, but I'll probably mention it. No, what he's writing about, in fact, what he's writing this whole letter about is fellowship with God. And he declares throughout the letter, the section we're on now, he declares that God is light. Later on, he declares in the same letter, God is love. A little bit later on in the same letter, he declares, God is life. And the whole letter is to invite his readers, who are believers, into a deeper relationship with God.
Yes, yeah.
And it's in that relation, and it's in that crux, and with that umbrella overarching message of having fellowship with God and with one another, he says, I write these things unto you that your joy might be full. One of the secrets to walking in joy is to walk really close to God. And not in theory, but in reality. And there is an invitation, we heard it this morning prophetically and testimony-wise, there is this invitation of God to always be close. You might sometimes feel like when people prophesy, doesn't God have anything else to say? He's always beckoning us closer. Why? Because he paid such an awesome price that we could come close. And so there is this reality of joy. I don't know if you've ever noticed, it's really easy to fake worship. It's not easy to fake praise. It's not easy to fake joy. It's not easy to dance. It's hard enough to dance when you feel like dancing, especially if you get a little older. But I mean, in the presence of God, it isn't easy to enter into praise unless you're really feeling it. It's hard to fake joy. It's hard to fake a smile. For some of us, it's harder than others. Smile. I don't feel like it. No, I know none of you can relate. John's reason for writing is captured in the first few verses about the fellowship with God. Friendship with God. The word in the Greek is koinonia. And it communicates a friendship, a closeness. If we can all be mature here this morning, one of the things it means is intercourse, but in the truest sense of the word, not in a sexual sense. In fact, the truth is that word isn't really necessarily sexual, it's relational. It has to do with communication and getting to know one another. I used to say, but I try not to shock people as much as I used to, but I used to say one of my favorite places for intercourse with my wife was Perkins Restaurant. And it is. Or Applebee's. Or another restaurant. Because it's got nothing to do with truth in the true sense of the word. It has nothing to do with physical contact. It has everything to do with heart-to-heart contact. It has everything to do with eye-to-eye contact. It has everything to do with the full depth of love and of communicating. The word koinonia means a spiritual friendship and connection, communication, communion. And that is what the author, John, is after. And he's inviting his readers into that deeper koinonia. We know from history, both in the Word, but apart from the Word, we know that John had a deep, deep, deep relationship with Jesus when he was on the earth, and with Jesus and the Father and the Son after Jesus had left. There are rumors that they tried to kill John and couldn't. Don't know that, I'm not going to comment on that, but I guess I already did. I don't know. I don't care. I do know this. He's dead. And Jesus isn't. And neither's John. In many ways, he's alive and well with Jesus. Where Jesus is, John is also. So the focus of John's writing is not sin. How many of you know that if I took a little black magic marker and just made a little black dot right about here, there'd be some of the guys wouldn't be happy. Even though it's just a temporary screen, by the way, if you're wondering what that is, we're just envisioning the future. We're moving toward getting a screen up there and a new projector, and I shared a little bit of that last time I ministered. But the truth is, or if I had on a white shirt or even this shirt and put a little black spot on it, immediately your eye would be drawn to that black spot or a black spot on this. And so it is with this passage. You read this passage and it's like, oh no, it's about the S word. We're going to talk about sin. Oh no. No, it's not about the S word. It's about the F word. I can't believe he said that. It's about fellowship. Closeness with God. Intimacy with God. And it is in that context that he does write about sin. He's inviting into a oneness. Do you know that all throughout Scripture, God is inviting into a oneness? In John 17, Jesus prayed it, that they would be one even as we are one. I one in you, you one in me, and them one in us. And if we really, really understand it, oh, this is going to rock your world. Because of the oneness that you and I have with Jesus Christ, we are a part of the Godhead in that sense. Now, don't go to work tomorrow and tell people you're God, but you are. You are his ambassador. You are his expression. We heard it prophetically. You are the peace in the midst of chaos. You are the light in the midst of darkness. And it's a tremendous privilege that we get invited into the Godhead. We get invited into oneness with God himself. So real is that oneness that he resides within you and within me. All throughout the Old Testament, he was asking the question. He was making the statement and asking the question. The heavens are my throne and the earth is my footstool, but oh, where's my place of habitation? And they built him a temple and that wasn't it. For he was looking for a temple not built with hands, whose builder and maker was God, and that's you. But it's not just you, it's me. Ha! And you, and you, and you. See, this fellowship that he's inviting us into, it's about the body of Christ. In fact, he says it there. He says that you might have fellowship with us, but in reality, our fellowship is with God the Father and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This fellowship that he's inviting us into is a corporate fellowship. That's why we need one another. I can't just say, well, I've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and then there's me. It's us four and no more. No. I need you, and you need me. In fact, in our membership class, one of the things that we used to, I don't know if we still do, but one of the things that we used to highlight is why the body of Christ needs you and why you need the body of Christ. We need each other. And this fellowship that we have with God is not just about my relationship, as Pastor Dave said it. That's why it's so important that we come together. That's why it's so important that we worship together. That's why it's so important that we have coffee after and interact and connect. Why? Because we're being the body of Christ. You're my brother. No, I know you're Pastor Dave's brother, but you're my brother too.
Amen.
You're my sister. And I need you. We need one another. And that's the fellowship that he's inviting us into. And so that, listen to me, this is we're segueing now, we're going to shift. That is why he talks about sin. Because my sin affects you. Your sin affects me. See, I believe God can handle my sin way easier than the body of Christ can. But it's because of this, and all of this is that our joy might be full. One of the kids, I was standing right about here a few Sundays back, and one of the kids, before the service, one of the kids came up to me, one of the Sunday school kids, and said, "I just have to tell you, when you walk into the room, you just brighten up the whole room." I thought, oh, wow. That really blessed me. A little kid said that, and I didn't even have candy. I think he meant it. I'm going to take it that he meant it, and I also took it that it was from God. Because I'd never really thought about that. And I want to suggest that we all brighten up the room. And the truth is, one of the reasons that I'm so giddy and so happy is because I'm with my family. I'm with my brothers and my sisters. I'll be honest with you, I'm way more giddy on Sunday than I am on Monday. But I get to be here with you. I just get to. And you get to. And we get to. And we get to experience God together. Now the truth is that we, the body of Christ, including this body, has come a long way in understanding who we are in Christ. Understanding the tremendous privilege we have. I just have some lists here to read. I am called a child of God. I am called Christ's friends. In Christ, it is just as if I have never sinned. I belong to the Father. I have been adopted by Father God. I am complete in Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am forever free of condemnation. The Father is always for me and not against me. Trouble does not separate me from God's love. I am hidden from Christ in the Father. I am filled with power, love, and a sound mind. I find grace and mercy when I am hurting. His perfect love casts out all fear. The evil one has no right to touch me, and my Father wants to hold me anytime that I'm afraid. Not only that, I am the salt and the light of the earth. I am the witness of God to the world. I am the minister of reconciliation for God, and I am ambassador for God to the world. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not only that, Jesus is not ashamed to be my brother, and God is not ashamed to be my Father. Not only that, he has forgiven my iniquity and remembers my sin no more. He has put all sin under his feet and cast them into the depths of the sea. God has redeemed me and forgiven me of all sin. God forgives and cleanses me from all my sin. And you could probably think of other declarations from the Word of God about how awesome and how free you and I are to come boldly before the throne of grace and seek mercy and grace anytime we want it.
Come on. Yes.
So it leaves a big question mark right there. Can you see it? Right there on that white thing. A big black question mark. Then why are we talking about sin? Why is John writing about sin? Why is he writing about sin to a group of people who a little later on who he applauds for their maturity? Because my sin affects you. and my sin affects my fellowship. Not my salvation, not my position, not my sonship, not anything, but it can affect my fellowship with my Father and with Jesus. It can affect my ability to walk in fullness of joy. Doesn't mean I'm not going to heaven. It just means I might not be getting along real good with God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit. And more importantly, maybe even than that, I may not be getting along really good with you and those around me. And so I need to process. I need to give consideration. The truth is that we have been living for a number of years under an umbrella of truth. And that is that God is good. He's in a good mood and he does good things. And that is true. That is such a truth. And I believe of any other truth that is overarching that the body of Christ needs to know, it's that. But that does not mean that I don't judge myself, that I don't watch myself, that I don't walk wisely before you and before my God. That's why John is writing about sin. And he's inviting them into a deeper fellowship with God and with one another. Yes. And so he says, hey, just be aware of this. This is one thing we learn from Jesus. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with the light, but we're walking in darkness, we're not telling the truth. Now, I'm not here this morning to point fingers at anyone. I've got all eight fingers and thumbs pointed back at me. It got quiet. The focus of John's writing is not on sin and it's not on salvation. It's on fellowship. He's not calling into question, and I'm not calling into question anyone's salvation here this morning. But God is light, and I need to walk in the light. God is love, and I need to walk in love. God is life, and I need to walk in life. In fact, I believe that the best way to know whether something is sin or not is not whether it's good or bad. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that God said that we never should have eaten from. No. How we judge whether something is sin or not is it life or is it death? Fruit. Pastor Dave just said it. Thank you.
Oh, sorry.
I wasn't going there, but I am now. Sometimes the voice of the Holy Spirit comes through one another. No, the reality is, it is what is whatever I'm giving myself to. Is this life or is this death? Is this life to my relationship? Is this life to my marriage? There are things, you know, there are things that I can give myself to as a husband, but I will not, because it's not life to my marriage. It's not life to my wife. God is light, God is love, and God is life. And I just need to be aware. And I'm not talking about being a belly button gazer, but I am talking about just being aware. In fact, if we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, he is our best helper and our best friend, and just tapping us on the shoulder and reminding us of who we are. He doesn't remind us of what we did. He reminds us of who we are, and he calls us to live according to the call of Christ Jesus. He reminds us that we're being conformed to the image of God's dear Son. Those of you who are married, and you don't have to be married, any of you who have ever been in a relationship know that there are times when you've had to say, I'm sorry. What'd you say? I'm sorry, I guess. At a leadership council meeting dinner thing we had of here, some of our leaders, we played a Family Feud game, and the question was, what are some of the things that you would teach a young man who's newly getting married to say? And one of them was, I'm sorry. We know that in relationships, we do need to say we're sorry. We do need to ask for forgiveness. If you're here this morning and it's very hard for you to ask for forgiveness, I want to encourage you that God is probably about the business of giving you lots of practice. If you want to know what's God doing in my life, well, if that's a fruit that's hard for you to manifest, I can guarantee you that's what he's doing in your life. But good news, you don't have to come up with your own forgiveness. You can use his. And you can take the forgiveness with which you've been forgiven and you can dispense it. It's true of all the attributes of God. Everything that he calls us to, he says, oh, I'll be that for you. Don't misunderstand. God, you know, a little later on, John talks about love. Don't misunderstand. That love that he's talking about, that doesn't come from you. That comes from God. But guess what? You get to be the dispenser. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Oh, my God. Really? Are you kidding me? How do you do that? By living in a love. And dispensing the love with which he loves me. You husbands here this morning, I'll tell you the best coach you could ever have is Jesus. Yeah. Just look at how he deals with you and how he treats you and the love and the respect and the gentleness with which he treats you. That's how you treat your wives. That was for somebody. So in the process of koinonia, in the process of fellowship, there's got to be communication. And so there are those times when we need to say, forgive me. And so that's simply what John says. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship with one another. If we confess our sins. Now, if you have a picture of a confession being a little room you go into, what was that about? Oh, that door was open. Confession is just in the flow of our day. Just it isn't some deep. It doesn't have to be some deep. Oh, I'm so sorry. Do you know that when we process sin, when we confess sin, when we walk in the light as he is in the light, it's not for him, it's for us. I learned a long time ago, and we see it in the life of Jesus, he had no problem with sin or sinners. I mean, he knew how to be amongst them. It's me that needs to confess, needs to be aware, needs to walk things in the light, just needs to keep things open, keep an open channel with God. You do know that if you tell God something You haven't informed him of something he didn't already know. It's not like God is, oh, no, really? No, he knows. And he's been waiting. Come on, come on. Out with it, out with it. Just say it. You don't have to say it in front of a whole room of people. You can just say it to God. I do recommend saying it out loud. I mean, not loud, just. But I do recommend that it leaves your thoughts and comes out your mouth. It's not what goes into a man, Jesus said. It's what comes out of a man that defiles a man. And I want to suggest it's not what goes into a man that sets a man free. It's what comes out of his mouth. That's why Sozo Ministry and some of the new, relatively new, forms of counseling are so powerful. And it is such a weapon that we didn't exercise very often, if at all, years ago, and that was involving the person in their own setting themselves free with their own voice. If there's forgiveness needed, speak it out. I mean, no, say it. Do you forgive? No. Say it. Ask like you really mean it. You ever get two kids to apologize? And sometimes it's real, and sometimes it's not so real, and you know that, but the truth is we're modeling and teaching them that it is important. Say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. They're probably not. They might be sorry on the outside, but they're not on the inside. But they're learning. Communication is so important. It's important in our relationship with God. When you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive our sins, our trespasses. It's right there in the Lord's Prayer. What's called the Lord's Prayer. It's a model prayer. It's a form. If you never know how to pray, it's an excellent place to start. Chapter 2 and verse 1, we read, My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, he might as well say, and when you sin. I write this to you so you don't sin, but when you do, and it's not that God gives permission for sin, but he makes provision for it. Isn't that awesome? Aren't you glad? You know, there's the old story of the, doesn't matter what nationality was, but they've been married for 30 years and the wife says, You never tell me you love me. And he says, Well, I told you I loved you the day we got married. If it changes, I'll let you know. No. Neither is it that on the day that I got saved, I asked for forgiveness and that's it. I'm not saved because I asked for forgiveness of my sins. What did he say? He said, I'm not saved because I asked forgiveness for my sins. I'm saved because I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and I believed that God raised him from the dead. In fact, it goes on to say that Jesus didn't just die for my sins or yours. He died for the sin of the whole world. The whole world doesn't have a sin problem. They have a belief problem in the Lord Jesus Christ. It isn't like they need to find an answer. There is an answer. They need to embrace the answer. And the exhortation we heard prophetically this morning is for you and I to go out and to broadcast and to make sure people understand that there is an answer. And that we can be part of it, part of the process of bringing the answer. And His name is Jesus. He's the atonement, the propitiation for the whole world, we read. That just means he satisfied the complaint that was against the whole world, against mankind. So if we walk in the light as He is in the light, it's about daily life. It's walking. It's not visiting the light. It's walking in the light. Now, I sincerely believe I'm speaking to a group of people this morning that are walking in the light. Our encouragement to us this morning is to cultivate and to take care of that light. To recognize that I have a fellowship. I've been invited into a fellowship with God Himself. Amazing. A koinonia, a closeness. And I can walk in that light and I can walk in that closeness while I do the most mundane daily things tomorrow morning. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's Sunday again. I get to go where there is light. You know why? One of the reasons? How are you today?
Good.
Good. You look good. Your light's shining. Do you know one of the reasons that it's so good to come together is because for most of us, not all of us, but for most of us, we're in places where it's dark and we're having to be the light. But when we come together, I get to rub against my little brother here. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. And I get to draw from His light and Your light and Your light. And I don't have to be light. But it is, I'll tell you this, it is the easiest place to be light. That's why I like church. But part of the secret, and I believe part of what God is teaching us, how to take that joy of being the light that we experience when we come together and be just as enthused about being it out there.
Yes. Yeah.
Realizing that it's a little bit more work out there. I can't take you with me everywhere I go, but I can take Jesus with me everywhere I go. So I encourage you, walk in the light as He is in the light. Why? That we might have fellowship. I used to read that scripture, and I'd ask the question, and I would even ask people, and I got an answer from God this week. I used to say, okay, we'll have fellowship with one another. He's been talking about fellowship with God, so is He talking about we'll have fellowship with one another, me and God, or me and people? And I realized this week, it's both. It is both fellowship with God, but fellowship with people. And you can't separate the two. That's why a little later on, John writes a really pretty cutting statement. He says, don't tell me you love God if you're angry with your brother. It's like, whoa. And he brings a connection between my relationship with you and many more like you.
Yeah.
I like you. It's like the God, it's like the young new Christian who said, I just love everybody. And the old pastor said, you haven't met everybody yet. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Do you remember those feelings of, oh, I just love everybody. This is so cool. And I believe we can live in that and we can walk in that. But it takes on our part a cultivating of our relationship with God. And just a protecting of our fellowship. And one of the ways we do that is just watch what comes into our life. I like the analogy that John uses of darkness, of walking in the light versus... Most of us can understand that. Most of us know what it means. We all know what it means to walk in the light. But I think we also need to know what it means when we've stepped into darkness. And we definitely know what it means when the darkness is in us. Or there's just that sense of... I want to open up the altar this morning. I was going to ask for all sinners to come forward, but I thought you might misunderstand me. No. Let's everyone come forward. And this is no trick. I mean, if you don't know me, well, if you do know me, this is no trick. I would like us this morning, just by our coming forward, to make a commitment to be deliberate in our walking in the light. Father, we do just come before you this morning as a people, as a fellowship of people, as brothers and sisters who love one another, love you, in some cases don't know one another, and yet recognize the light in one another. Lord, we ask you to help us. If you don't mind, just pray this after me, and just so you know where we're going, so you know what you're saying yes to. I'm asking you to join with me in just inviting the Holy Spirit to give him permission to be a referee in our life when we're touching the fringes of darkness, whatever that might be for you. So if you don't mind, just repeat this after me. Father God, I come to you this morning. And I want to walk in the light as you were in the light. I want to protect the fellowship that I have with you, that I have with those around me. So, Holy Spirit, I give you permission to be my guide and to be a referee and to blow the whistle in my innermost being, when I'm infringing on darkness, that I might walk in the light as God is in the light, for the sake of fellowship. Amen.